Yesuka is a dear friend of mine. I think we've done ministry together for a while. He's someone who loves the work of the Lord. He's someone who loves to go to places that people are afraid to go and share the word of God and to go and build churches. So that much I believe. I want to praise our speaker for today. And the Lord must be prepared. So let's invite him for him.
Thank you. name of Jesus. I can hear you say in the name of Jesus. Say this morning, Heavenly Father, let your spirit come upon me. I can hear you say, Lord Jesus, this morning in your presence, baptize me again with fresh anointing, with your spirit afresh. Say, Lord, this morning, let the excess be removed. Say, let the excess be taken away. Let the burden be lifted. The excess burden be lifted up here. Can you clap your hands in the next one?
Thank you.
shall return, and I shall bring them down back from the land of Egypt, and I will gather them from Assyria, and I will bring them in the land of Gilead and Lebanon, until no more room is found for them, and they shall pass through the sea. Lift up your voice and thank God. With affliction, I will strike them from the roots of the sea, and all the depths of the river shall dry up, that the land of Assyria shall be brought down, and the center of Egypt shall be burned, and I will strengthen them, and I will strengthen them, and I will strengthen them. They shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders on the horses shall be put to shame. Father, raise us this morning. Say, Father, raise me this morning as a mighty man. Raise me as a savior in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Can you clap your hands and give God glory once again this morning? Hallelujah. God bless you for coming to church once again. Don't mind me. That's how we do it. See, that's how we do it. I just say that's how we do it. Whatever we do here, do so. Say whatever we do here, I will do so. Let me show you a scripture. What a week I was reading my Bible, and I found a scripture in the Bible which amazed me. Wow. It's a wow scripture. First Thessalonians chapter number 4:7. It says, "For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." And he said, "For he that despises not man, but God." Look at it. He said, "Therefore, he who does not reject man, but God, who also has given us his Holy Spirit." So what Paul is saying, that I have said many things to you, and don't think the things I am saying is for me. If you reject the things I am telling you, you are not rejecting me, you are rejecting God. And not only are you rejecting God, by extension, you are rejecting the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I am coming to preach to you. Don't see that Samuel Kerome who says that one of those things. If you reject the things that I will say from Scripture, you are not rejecting me. Whatever uncle be shoes or any bad distance and preach here, it is not there, no. It is the words of God. When you reject it, you are rejecting God. So when God said, "We have not been called unto uncleanness," it is not the mind of Paul, it is the mind of God. Are you here this morning? Yes. So whatever I will say, you in your heart, don't despise it. See it as if God is talking to you. Are you here this morning? I must start the preaching. Maybe I need an extra week. But this morning I want to thank you so much for the invitation and the honor to come and preach this. Can we clap your hands with you? Can we clap your hands with you? It is not everybody who comes here. You know what it means for people to actually come and say something and teach up. Hallelujah. So I want to thank Akubiju so much for the opportunity and the honor to come and preach. In fact, me, I wasn't replying any WhatsApp message, right? I wasn't touching any message. But when I saw a message came, Uncle Bishu with some laughing emoji, I replied that one first, and I continued what I was doing. Yes, you have to be. You understand? So, Charlie, it's a privilege. It's a blessing. Can you clap your hands once again? It's an amazing thing. You get it. It's very powerful. And I want to thank Uncle Nicholas too, who has trained me, talked to me. In fact, let me tell you how I became a church worker. Those days when I come to church very early, I come to city. Then after church, you know me, I go downstairs, I go home. And one day he followed me down. He just called me. He said, what is your name? I said, oh, my name is Kerubi. He said, what do you do? I said, I don't do anything. No. He said, I want you to come to church on Saturday. Come and join the prayer department. And from that day, one word he said to me, that has brought me up to this far. Yes. Wow. You, all the person, did this day has chased you. If call your parents, call your guidance, giving you transportation, you talk the money, you didn't come to church. I said, whatever, I said, don't reject it. Hallelujah. So this morning, I want to talk about evangelism. I want you to come and talk about evangelism. He said, hey. When they say come and talk about evangelism, it's a big thing because you can't exhaust that topic. And I became confused. I said, Holy Spirit, help me. And topics were flowing in my mind, and I was telling Uncle Michael, I gave me a minka. I said, oh, you pray. And you can't tell me to preach something, tell me to pray. And the prayer alone is work. And I mean, thinking about a lot of things to talk about. And I realized that I wanted to talk about a certain topic. I realized that I have to talk about one topic or this. I can't exhaust that one. So maybe I need an extra week. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. But today I want to talk about keys to developing your evangelistic ministry. Not my ministry, your evangelistic ministry. Say my evangelistic ministry. Say keys. Weapons. Nuggets. Yeah, I went to psycho, so when I get one, it is made useful. Nuggets. If you ask me what it means, I don't know. But I know it means something like keys or something. Or wisdom or something or international school for people. Bill, you went to this morning glory. What is the meaning of nugget? We are all the same. The difference is the school fees. One is from Abai, one is from the parents. Hallelujah. But keys to developing to evangelistic ministry. I have 5 keys, but I will share 3. So that Uncle Bishop can invite me again. And I will give Antonio some nice topic, and you invite me again. Next time when you invite me, I'll talk about Philip the Evangelist. Yes. Then you invite me again. Then I'll come. I don't want on your radio. You just invite me. I like this one. So you will understand. But this one, I want to talk about keys to developing your evangelistic ministry. Now, you must understand something, that evangelism is a ministry. It's not an occasion. It is not an occasion where when there is a youth week, then let us think of putting evangelism in a thing. It is only when it is youth week or celebration or something that we think about evangelism. But the truth of the matter is, evangelism is everybody's ministry. Evangelism is everybody's ministry. Evangelism is the lifestyle of a Christian. And Bishop said, and prayer is a lifestyle. Yes, prayer is part of your lifestyle. Part of the lifestyle of a Christian is evangelism. So we, brother, I said what? Brother, see the thing now. Come in this door. Why you are in those times? Say, so it is your ministry. It is my ministry. So when Paul was talking in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and Moses, please tell me, he said that God also has given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. 1 Corinthians chapter number 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17. When you became born again, God gave, and therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what? Can you read that? Do you believe this one? If anyone is in Christ, is what? Do you believe this one? Do you believe you are a new creation? All things are what? Do you believe that one? Do you believe that the bad things should be in our past?
Yeah.
Good. Behold, all things have become what? So all the bad things you've done, I have done, is what? God, and now we are new creatures standing here like we've never done it before. But when we enter into the archives, especially those sitting on this side, who are not talking. Can you go on verse 18? Now, all things are of God, who has what? Reconciled us to himself, Christ Jesus. And has given us the ministry of what? don't see it. It's like they don't come to church. Should I come to this side? Or I should be on this side? But I think the power is here. So the ministry of evangelism, reconciliation, is lead every believer. It is not for the evangelism team. It is not for the prayer team. Those the men say evangelism, the prayer team, antibility is there. Then we will go for evangelism, and it is only 2 people, 3 people, and they are walking beside antibility, and antibility to see an old man is there, you won't talk to him. Then you two are afraid. Evangelism is not an occasion or an occasional celebration. Evangelism is the ministry Jesus gave to all those who be born again and follow him. Evangelism is the daily lifestyle of every born again believer. The same way you believe that the Holy Spirit is given to you, is the same way you must believe that evangelism is given to you to do. Hallelujah. The Bible says how beautiful are the mountains of the feet of them. Who do the Lord keep you and what? Give you peace. You know the continuation of Numbers chapter 7, 28. And 26. You know the lesson. But I say, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring down, that preach the gospel of peace. You see, it's because you don't know this one. That's why I'm coming to teach you keys to develop in your evangelistic ministry. Whether you are in church. So this morning, I want us to read our. Today I'll preach from only one scripture. To the hand of you, can rewrite me again. Acts chapter number 8, verse 5. Am I doing well this morning?
Very well, yeah.
So that hand of you, can rewrite me again. Yes. So let's look at Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Now let's read the scripture. Let's read from verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere doing what? Now, let me give you a background to the scripture. This was when the disciples were scattered. They were being persecuted, okay? And they were beaten. And the verse 1 says that when Saul was consenting against the church, they were afraid and they got scattered. So the disciples, people went to different places. But there was one thing that didn't stop. Because they paid heed to one instruction that Jesus gave them in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. That says what? For 100 cities. Oh, you are not bold enough. For 100 cities. 2, 3. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Aquarium. He said, go ye into all the world. Let me put my money. Go ye into all the world, and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. There is no baptizing in that scripture too. So do you see the reason I have to teach you the keys? Because I did only money. So even though they were scattered, they had persecution, they were beaten. In some part in Acts chapter 4, the Bible said they beat the apostles. The moment they beat them and they stood up and they said, they were scattered. Verse number 8 and 5. Verse 5. Then Philip, this is the guy I want to talk about next week, which I am very confident will come. Then Philip went down to the city of what? Samaria, and did what? Preach Christ to them. Verse 6. And the multitude with one accord yielded to the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Verse number 7. For unclean spirits. When you come for miracle service on Wednesdays, you understand unclean spirit, the spirits. Crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were what? Paralyzed and lame were what? Healed. Verse 8. And there was what? Anyway. Do you know why you preach out today? It's because of verse 5. You don't preach. In the Lord is down. After preaching, trust the results. But let me teach you something. In Acts chapter number 1, verse 8, the Bible said, Jesus said, you should wait for the promise of the Father. And he said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall do what? You shall be what? The Holy Ghost that we have been praying for you every day to receive. It is not for chewing chewing. The Holy Ghost that you received here, we went to come. We fasted and prayed for you and you received the Holy Ghost. It is because of this. The tongues that Uncle Bishop said, speak in 10 minutes in the house, is because you must receive power to do what? Witness of me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and towards the ends of the earth. Number one key for developing your evangelistic ministry is you must go. Say, I must go. The church is your born again, and the Holy Ghost in you is for you to go to preach, to be a witness, to evangelize. But you're asking, oh, if I go, what will I say? I will get there. The reason why you think evangelism is not important in the church is because you don't go. Acts 8, verse 5. And Peter and Philip went to the city. And Philip went down to the city. And did what? And preached Christ. All my points are in this one verse. Philip went down. Go ye therefore. When they say come for evangelism, you don't come. You will sit in your house. And you know the saddest thing? The world has made it so easy and has distorted the work of God that instead of we being a going church, there is social media that keeps you in the room. Let me ask you something. How many churches online that they post their Sunday churches and messages and pictures and things that somebody came to church because I saw nice pictures on social media? That's funny church. How many people? After today's service, they'll take nice pictures of me and they will put it on Instagram. But that doesn't bring anybody to church. And amazingly, we have more than 200, 300 people here. But you will not like the page. You will like Mickey Minaj. At least you didn't say anything, though. Just retweet, repost, re-like, and either something like that. The message that was preached today, you will not do it there. I'm sorry if I know your name, I'll mention your name. After yeah, I'll go next week, I'll come and do it. Do you understand? The reason why we are not seeing evangelism thrive in the church, there are empty seats in the church, is because we are not going. Jesus said to the disciples, he said, come, so that I will make you fishers of men. We will go and bring the fishes who are not stable, not go on an adventure like that before. But it's good to go to a very bad school so that you can experience good things. I went to school in the Volta region and I went for fishing. And I realized that the fishes don't stay at one place. Then I understood the real meaning when Jesus said, I'll make you fishes of men. You will chase the fish sometimes. Sometimes you have cast a fish, but the fishes do like this, man. Just catch it. You will chase crab, it's part of the fish. There are souls that are like crab, they will bite you, but you must catch it. You must go. When Uncle Bill said, I've come a picture about evangelism, I remember something that sad. I felt so sad in my spirit. I remember Uncle Owusu of Pleasant Memory. Every Sunday, we will gather people. We are going out to preach. And so sad when he went to be with the Lord, that thing stopped. We tried to revive it. I am Uncle Moses. To go and catch people to church. The reason why the church is not growing, your Christian life is not growing, you are not wise, because either way so is what? Wise. You are not wise enough. You are failing. Me, I do last minute learning by a pass. Don't go and be like me or you will fail. I'm not saying you're going to be like, you know, you will fail, okay, I don't know. But you see, you must be wise, you must go out. We are sitting too much on social media. I'm a fool. Social media has made the thing so easy for us to see when Jesus said we should go. You are sitting in the church that you can stand and preach. You are sitting. The Uber driver that you can preach to, you are making him help you and take your number. I took post today, the brother, I preached to him. Because I'm sure he said some people ordered me and they were all boys and blah, blah. I said, that is why Jesus said in Luke chapter 16 that there was a rich man who has two children. One said, give me my riches. And I preached to him there. And I said, yes, it is true. I preached to him. Go. The first key is to go. Your evangelistic ministry is to go. How do you know how to preach if you don't go out? How can they be saved if there is no preacher? And how can they be a preacher if nobody is saved? Romans chapter number 10, verse 7, going downwards. He said, how can they hear if no preacher is saved? So evangelistic ministry number one to develop it is to go out and preach. Tell a friend, let's go to this classroom and go and preach there. When I went to SHS 1, I went to the best school in the whole world. Don't argue with me because you don't understand. When I went to the school, I went to school very late. School resumed in October. I went in November. I spent 1 month in the school and I came. When I went to the school, the first thing, when I went to the class, I scanned all the class. I realized that all the form ones were under this name, the big assembly chair. I said, yay, this is a good platform for me to preach. So do you know what I did? I went to 1 week after, I went to see our class prefect, the class prefect. I said, class prefect, I want to start a morning devotion. He said, oh, it's a good idea. He said, then tomorrow you will start. I said, yeah. And I had a message. I went to the class. Early morning, I said, we are doing prayers. We pray no. I said, I'm preaching 5 minutes. And I preach. It continues, sir, and the other classes saw that I have been preaching every morning in the class. You know what they did? You know what they did? They started inviting me. Because there was no preacher. When they saw one preacher, they invited me. To the extent that seniors were inviting me to their class. I was not waiting for SU to invite you. I went to classes. Your class, you know that you have a girlfriend in G, class something G. So if you go there and you go and preach, they get look at you. Say, hey, brother. Say, I will go. Stop sitting down. You can't see that your buttocks is itching, it's becoming some way. Go, go, go. Go. Your evangelistic ministry will die. Your Christian life will die. Say, I will go. Acts chapter number 8, verse 5. I said, all my points are in harvest. Point number 2. Then Philip went down to the city of what? Samaria. If you ask Uncle Ivan and Auntie Esther, they are Bible experts. They understand the meaning of Samaria. But let me tell you small thing about Samaria. John chapter number 8. Let's look at that scripture. John chapter number 8, verse 14. Then the Jews answered and said to him, that is Jesus, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and has a demon? Now let me explain. Samaritans were seen as bad people. So the Jews didn't like to what? Associate themselves to the Samaritans. The Jews saw themselves as what? The holy people of God. The chosen people of God. The called people of God. The selected people of God. Like you are sitting here, you are seeing yourself as a child of God, as a born again Christian, a holy girl, a holy boy, in the name of Jesus, baptized with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost. I walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. So you don't associate yourself with other people. So they were in so
insulting Jesus. They said, you are a bad guy like the Samaritans and you have a demon. So they were associating Samaritans to demons. So Samaritans and demons were on the same level. That was how bad Samaritans were. We smokers are sabo. So they said, Jesus, is that we say rightly that are you not a Samaritan? They were insulting Jesus. And you have a demon. And when the Jesus was even testing, he went to the well. John chapter 4. And asked a woman a water. He said, you a Jew, how can you ask me a Samaritan water? You see, because the Samaritans were seen as bad people, so the Jews won't associate with them. But Philip went down to that bad city, that real smoky place, went to that bad friend, and preached Christ there. It means that Philip had love for the bad people, the Samaritans. You didn't clap for that one. Because you, your parents have told you that anybody that you although is a bad person. So don't go near them. But you see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, Paul said, the love of God constrains us. And with that charge, that if one died for all. Paul is saying that I am only moved by the love of Christ in my spirit, in my heart. I don't care. I am only convinced that if Christ Jesus died, he died for the bad, he died for the good, he died for the good, he died for the holy person, he died for everyone. The only thing that moved me is the love of Christ. So I don't judge people. So when you go on, Paul says that from henceforth, see we no man after the flesh. See we no man after the flesh. But you, when you see the boy, that gangster, you don't see him as a sheep. You see him as a Samaritan who is bad that cannot be preached. But Philip had love for the Samaritan. You don't have love for sinners. That is why we are not preaching. The second key is love for Samaritans or to sinners. Number two key. If I don't remember, maybe I will say the key in the team. So, because I said key, so I have to be giving points. But there was one scripture in the Bible, Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 or something like that. Matthew 9, something. It says that when Jesus saw the multitude, think Matthew 9, 28 of them. When Jesus saw the multitude there, he was moved with compassion. And they were as sheep without a shepherd. Listen, Jesus first saw the multitude. And he was moved with what? Compassion. Then he saw them as sheep, even though they were not. He saw a potential Christian in a sinner because he was moved by compassion. So when you see people, you don't see them as potential Christians. You don't see them as potential church members. You only see them as bad people. But before Jesus did anything, he was moved with compassion. And he saw that these people were going to hell. One day I was at work and some girl came and I was with one of my people. And when the girl came, the girl thought I was laughing with her and everything, like a very nice girl. She thought I like her. She thought I like her. But the love of God constrains us. And I said, you give me your number. Next week we will go to church. I didn't see her as a potential beloved. No, I saw her as a potential church member. What are you seeing in the sinner? Jesus saw them as sheep. Give me the King James Version. I want the King James Version. And when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion because they fainted and scattered. They were dying. When you see people on the street, what moves you? Maybe next time I will preach about Jesus and his estimate for a soul. He saw that they were dying and they are praying poor. Or you see young people on the street and you are coming to church and nothing is moving you. He said he saw them as people who were dying, fainted. He was moved with some love, some compassion. The Bible said, even as we have not come to the place of shedding our blood, people shall turn number 12 verse 13, verse 3. So we have not even come to the place of even shedding our blood. When Jesus saw them, when you see your friend who is a lesbian, when you see your friend who is not going to church, tells you that on Sunday, the only thing I do is I pray. About Nintendo. when you gather with your friends, it is telenovela, the new series, the new Game Boy. You don't know anything about Christ. That is why you are afraid to go and preach. When they say evangelism, hey, I don't know what to say, but I will teach you how to preach about Christ. Then I'll stop there. Then the rest of the keys, I will keep it, and they will do what? Clap for yourself. But you understand? Listen to verse 6. Listen to verse 6. And the people did what? The people with one accord did what? They gave heed, they listened to the things Philip preached about Christ. How did Philip preach about Christ? Number one. Number one, Philip preached about the things that Jesus said. He repeated the things that Jesus said. He repeated the statement. He repeated the sayings of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You don't read your Bible, so you don't even know where that one is. If that, you know where that one is, it's 10 cities right now. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody goes to the Father except to me. Who will you tell me where it is? 10 cities right now. 3, 2, 1, 0. John 14, verse 1. Look at verse 6. Verse 1 says that I am going to my Father. I am in my Father's house. There are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have said it. And then verse 6 says that what? I am the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Philip preached about the things that Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the living water. He that they should come to me and drink of me, and his own taste again. He preached about the sayings of Jesus. Preached about the parables of Jesus. Jesus, the beatitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, for this has he gone. Like this morning, when I wanted to preach to the boat driver, I said, Jesus said in Matthew, Luke chapter 16, that there was a certain rich man who has two children. I was preaching the sayings of Jesus. You don't know any sayings of Jesus, but you know the sayings of Jay-Z. The sayings of Jordan. If we ask you, say one thing, you remember Jesus said. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The sayings of Jesus. Amazingly, in the same chapter 8 of Acts chapter 8, verse 35. You know what happened? Because he was preaching for us. The Bible said when he was going, he got to a place called Azotha, and he met a man sitting in a rich man was sitting in this thing, in his parable, his rich over, and he was going, and he was reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. And the Bible said he didn't understand what he was reading. But do you know what Philip did? Philip was able to preach. So, evangelism able to what? Preach, sister. He was able to preach what? The sayings and the statements of Christ. You can't preach to your friends because you don't know the sayings and the statements of Christ. I go here. Who did mean preaching at the Jesus Christ? Number two, he preached the things that Jesus did, the miracles of Jesus. Jesus healing a blind man at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. He said, for I sit at this place and no man coming to help me when the enemy comes to stand. He said, for today, take up your bed and walk. He preached about the miracles of Jesus, the things that Jesus did. He preached about Jesus and blind Bartimaeus. You know, blind Bartimaeus. Who person who got now a kid who got. You don't even know blind Bartimaeus. Who knows blind Bartimaeus for 20 cities? Who is blind Bartimaeus? Preach to me. Preach one Christ. Preach, 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 preach Christ. Don't only tell me, preach Christ. How can you preach Christ on that place? When you prepare a sermon about it. But he preached about the things that Jesus did. You know, one of the ways I learned how to preach Christ, I read the whole book of Acts. Because the whole book of Acts is like evangelism. The things Jesus said, and the things that Jesus did, and the things that apostles did. Spirit in my heart to preach about Christ. have your experience. Me, I teach more about evangelism. And I have to use the both things I teach, the Roman road and personal experience. Now, I've seen that over the years when I preach about personal experience, people don't get sick. Until I preach about Christ. I want to show you something. I'll read out something to you. There was a man called D.L. Moody. He was one of the greatest evangelists. And how many of you know D.L. Moody? D.L. Moody. It's only the one that people know D.L. Moody. But you Tupac died before you came. But you know Tupac, how he died and how they are catching the one who killed Tupac after 26 or 28 years. You don't know anybody now. Reminds me of the story of the great evangelist and preacher D.L. Moody. Throughout his life, D.L. Moody gets a list of 100 people. This is the guy.
Yes, that I don't have to hear
that. D.L. Moody gets a list of 100 people who were not Christians. And he prayed for them every single day. Listen up. And he did what? Pray for them every single day. When one chose to follow Jesus Christ, Moody would take off his name from the list and continue persistently praying for the rest. On the day he died, 96 has become Christians. And incredibly, at his funeral, the final four chose to follow Christ. See, the guy was passionate. He kept a list of 100 people. 100. I believe it's what is in the Bible. Because the Bible said, Jesus said, a man had 100 sheep. And one God, he also decided to put a list of 100 people. I want to believe. Get a list of 100 people, and every single day, pray for each of the people. So when one person becomes born again, you take the name. Okay, Atuan Mansa has become born again. I take him off. Akosua has become born again. I take him off. Ruben Diaz has become born again. I take him off. Dominic Sobosai has become born again. I take him off. No topic, so we start. It's Liverpool's number 8. Yes. I don't know. I didn't want to say anything about Liverpool, but I've still said it. That was how passionate the guy. He was like Jesus when he saw them. When he saw the 100 people, he saw that they were dying. Get a list of them. I believe some of them, he didn't even know them, so he didn't ask for them. And they gave them the name. Then he will write. And every day when you wake up in the morning, it is not on WhatsApp and Instagram, then you will be praying. Pray, Lord, let this person be born again. He was passionate, and the guy was an evangelist too. So it's not that he was not preaching. Then he took the name. At his funeral, I was preaching in my class, and when we go to form three, stubborn. So I decided that me, I will preach to this guy. So I started doing the morning devotion in the class. And I preached and one day the guy came to himself and said, Caroline, I have some problem. I said, yes! Because I have been the guy to preach to him. And he was my senior and he had been repeated. So the humiliation is there. So I'm afraid to go to him to go and preach to him. I'm afraid I'm not a boy. And the guy himself came to me and I preached to him. I don't know. I think some people, I brought him to camp. He's now a born again Christian. He plays keyboard. He's in ICGC. You are not clapping before because you are telling of you. It's possible. When we finish school, all the water really. And people say thing, they will come in and I'll pray at midnight. Charlie, where is you? You will sleep there. You are in there, I know that. And the guy will call you, his father, his this, and I'll pray for him, And finally he moved to Accra. Finally. And then and the midnight prayer stopped. Because the demons didn't come in. Then when he came to Accra, he said, I want the church to go. I said, look for ICGC and that. He's not a very powerful keeper. He's called Cyril. He came for camp. Like some of them, I don't know what I was talking about. He was with me in the room. I paid for him to be come for camp. When Jesus saw the multitude, when you see people, what do you see? Do you see a potential beloved boyfriend or girlfriend? Or you see a soul in the church member? You see somebody who can fill the space in the church. Today, I want to appeal to your mind to develop your evangelistic ministry, your personal lifestyle. Like Jesus, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Lift up your right hand. Say, in the name of Jesus. You are not praying. Say, in the name of Jesus. This morning, in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, raise me as a mighty evangelist. As a mighty evangelist. Say, Father, rest in chapel. Rest in chapel. Rest in chapel. As mighty men. As mighty men. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, after today, strengthen us in your name to what happened now, to resource, clap your hands, lift up your voice and pray. Clap your hands and pray.
Open your mouth.
You really clap because you are here. I said, next week, I will preach about Philip the Evangelist. In Acts 21, the Bible said, and they went to the house of Philip the Evangelist, who had four daughters, and they were virgins, and they prophesied. God said, this is like a daughter of Philip.
This morning.
We are praying, God, raise me as a mighty man. Raise me as a mighty man. Raise me as a mighty man. He said, and they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their hearts will rejoice as to their wine. Oh, lift up your right hand. Say, Lord Jesus, raise Tim Chapel as mighty people, as mighty evangelists, mighty soul winners, mighty people who preach the gospel. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, this morning, let the gospel of Christ baptize us in Tim Chapel. Let us be baptized with a preacher, with a preacher of the gospel. Say, Lord. Thank you. Don't see the Lord like that. See my soul ended to be bad. You understand? Because you have a person. And I don't know how to sing like I'll take them away from you. Yes. We are going to pray again that God baptize me with the preaching of the gospel, with the preaching of Christ. And I want you to clap and pray. If you get to a place where you want to worship in town, I want you to lift up your hands. Say, Lord Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus. Baptize me with the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Say, Father, let the spirit that was on Philip to preach the gospel, to preach Jesus, come upon me.
Message, and I'll encourage all of us that you go and listen to this.